From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Matinair On Air, where this week Jane and Greg welcome Jack Mim, State Director of Skills USA, to discuss the Skills USA State Leadership Conference. To hear the rest of the interview, check out the podcast or head to civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the show. Call, text at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can also email the show directly if you have a guest or a topic or something happening in your town that you would like us to kick around. Just send it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. A special edition of Public Cervix Announcement with Double the Doctors. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Dr. Laura Hanks are going to be joining us at 11:33 for our special PCA today. If you have a question for the doctors, doesn't have to be OBGYN related.
Never.
Can be anything. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all kinds of things from measles to ED to whatever it is. It's an open discussion. No need to be embarrassed. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The eclipse is going to happen on Monday, and a friend of mine actually lives outside of Austin, Texas, which is going to have totality, and I did look over the weekend to check on flights.
Yeah.
They were almost $1,000.
Do you think it's because of the eclipse? You really do?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
All right.
Because if I left next Wednesday, it was like $700. Thursday, it was $800. Friday, it's $900, and then it's all over $1,000.
I think this is a sign then. I think this is a sign from above that says you should get in that car.
Start driving.
Yep. Make your way down to Texas to see the dark.
To see the dark. It is supposed to be really impressive. I have never seen a total solar eclipse. It's supposed to be emotional.
Well, when I was in Texas last October for my friend's wedding, that's the thing is I always feel like an eclipse happens. It's never happening again for like 1,000 years, but it's always different. Like this is a lunar, this is a solar, this is a partial, this is a thing. I just remember they gave out glasses because the wedding was at 11 a.m.
Oh,
it was done by noon.
Okay.
And they gave out glasses afterwards for all us to come out of the church and watch. And it was actually pretty amazing because the darkness isn't dark. It's a weird
twilighty.
It's
kind
a twilighty, like almost like they've covered you in like a mesh. And then you're looking at the sun and it's just, it is pretty cool. It is very, very cool. But I will say this, I would never travel for it.
It's something I would like to see before the big goodbye. It's kind of on my bucket list.
Well, I got depressing really fast.
Well, it's just the truth. I don't think it's depressing. It's just as a statement of fact. All right. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He is the Wisconsin Director of Skills USA.
We were doing the same thing at the same time.
At the same time. There he is. Jake Mim is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very, very excited to have you with us. Going to talk about Skills USA. You are the State Director of Skills USA Wisconsin, Jake. So tell us about this. The conference is happening next week, April 9th and 10th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. So who is this aimed at? Who is this for? Why should we care?
Yeah, that's an interesting ask, right, Jane? And a lot of people like to focus on, when they hear about Skills USA, a lot of people tend to focus on what the competitions are, right? And although competitions are part of what we do, really Skills USA, I can give you kind of a backdrop if you'd like that.
Sure.
Skills USA was founded in 1965 in the United States. Wisconsin adopted it in 1973. And what it is it's essentially a CTSO, a career and technical student organization. So I actually am employed by the Department of Public Instruction, but part of my job is as state director for Skills USA is to run Skills USA as an organization within the state. So each consultant for the different CTE, career and technical education, all have their own CTSO. Ours is Skills USA. So when people think of ag, they think of FFA. When they think of business and marketing, they think of FBLA. We are Skills USA, and our job or our work is to empower students to become skilled professionals, right? And career ready leaders and responsible community members. So what we're doing is developing the entire student. You are asking about specifically the highlight of our year in Wisconsin, and that is our state conference with over 1,500 competitors that are going to show up the 9th and 10th at the Alliant Energy Center. And that is comprised of secondary, middle school, and post-secondary. There's 177 post-secondary people competing this year in over 80 different competitions. And that is coming up this spring. But I'd be happy to talk about more about the big picture of what Skills USA is or information on the conference, depending on what you're interested in.
Well, I'm curious, Jake, what kinds of competitions are they gonna perform next week in Madison?
That's a great question. So in Madison, in the different competitions, I always like to explain people with tech ed type courses, because this is a CTSO for tech ed teachers, right? So anybody taking the old shop classes, what we used to call them, or the engineering or construction and architecture, these are the competitions that highlight those opportunities. But it's not just the skilled trades in the labor market. We have things in automated manufacturing, which deals with robotic programming, urban search and rescue. We have medical related math. We have sheet metal. We have masonry, carpentry, teamworks. So there are a lot of things in the trades, but there are also drone search and rescue, drone competition. There are high tech type positions. There are a lot of programming that works right in conjunction with our two-year technical colleges and courses that they offer, electricity, electronics. And so it goes on and on and on. I could get really excited about it, as you can tell, because it's super cool to me. For me, I was a teacher for the last 25 years in the classroom as a tech ed teacher. I came out of that space and hopped into this role. And it's our sports team for tech ed, right? It's who we shine up and put out on the field to go compete and rub elbows with other kids in the state to see if they got what it takes to place. Because if they win here at state over the next couple of days, next Tuesday and Wednesday, they get an opportunity to go to nationals down in Atlanta, Georgia, where there'll be over 15,000 people competing at the national level. So it goes up another space. And you have all your big players with business and industry that are supporting and backing what Skills USA represents, because essentially we are trying to fill the skills gap. And that is between the things that we learn in class and the opportunities that we explore outside of class in our student organizations, Skills USA, in order to be able to round the whole student, right? Here's what school is. Here's what you can do. Here's the businesses that are interested. Here are the job opportunities that are available to you. So that's really kind of the full circle of what Skills is representing.
That sounds absolutely amazing, Jake. You know, one thing you said that raised my ears big time was the trades. And that's something that I've talked about many times here, the importance of trades, the trades programs, trade schools. We had Richard Barnhouse from WCTC here about a month ago, talking about how WCTC is going to be leading the way in AI technology. And I feel like, you know, when we think of the trades, we think of plumbing, we think of mason work, we think of very hands-on, like, you know, in the dirt type of work. But it almost feels like there's a new sense of trades coming up in the technological world that you all are touting and getting out, especially to the kids, to say, hey, you know, it sounds like a dirty statement to say out loud, but maybe the four-year college isn't your thing. Maybe your interest is more in this school that will teach you how to do exactly what you love to do, that'll get you a job, that'll get you paid, and get you doing what you love. And it sounds like that's what this program and this event is going to do.
Yeah, 150%, Greg. I mean, so here's I think we've hit a paradigm shift, right? The adage of when, maybe I'm not trying to judge an age, but I could tell you in the 80s and 90s, you know, that was the push, right? Mm-hmm. Four-year schools are the way to success.
Yes.
Somehow we shamed the blue-collar work, if we're going to call it that. But for some reason, out of need, necessity, want, kids are proud to put on the brand. They're proud to put on the work bibs, the yellow shirt, and say, I am a worker. Mm-hmm. I can provide for my family. I get a little emotional about that because it's the truth. And I've been talking about it for 25 years, and I can't express any more that the time is now that finally people are attracted to these jobs, and this is the space of where they can be successful, and we put them on a pedestal instead of putting them in a corner.
And I just think that the pride that has to be involved in even small projects, but being part of a bigger construction project in your community. I always think about a Fiserv right. Forum and all the people that were involved in building that and putting that together. And I had the opportunity to talk to some women who were working on some crews. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty cool when I can drive by with my kids and say, mommy was there.
Right. Mommy, I did that.
I did that. I was part of making that happen.
Yeah, Jane. And that's just it, right? I see it from the classroom into the student, but really it's the big picture of when they walk out of school, what next? What are my options next? So we celebrate two-year schools, four-year schools, the military. We have a military presence at Skills too, because these kids need to understand that it is, the learning is not going to stop. It's going to happen from somewhere else. And the trades and industry have really stepped up to have recruitment tools and youth apprenticeships and train people on site, as well as the manufacturing sector. So those are big spaces that we work in. It's not until we get out into the grown-up space that we recognize that those are the things that people are doing on the everyday. They're building those spaces. They're making the products that we just consume and use every day without realizing. But you nailed it on the head. Is like people are finally saying, yeah, I did that, mm-hmm. or I helped contribute to that. And there's a sense of pride, no doubt. And I get overwhelmed with it because my own kids are making the same choices right now. I have one in college, one that's making some, you know, career two-year type choices, and one that's in middle school and it's not sure yet. And that's totally natural. But I spent all this time talking about how many different pathways there are to success within the career and trades and industry. And we're finally here. We're at the precipice of this is the time. And so SkillsUSA, it relates that gap with the students coming out of the classroom, helps them be successful, round them as an individual by doing resumes and practicing interviews and presenting their ideas to adults and professionals that are in the different career tracks that they're actually competing in. So that's the special relationship that we have an opportunity to provide for these kids.
Jake Mim is our guest. He's the state director of SkillsUSA Wisconsin, talking about their competition that's coming to Madison next week, the State Leadership and Skills Conference on April 9th and 10th. If you have time, Jake, we can keep it for another segment. I would like to talk more about some of the specific competitions that we can look forward to next week.
Sure.
Stay close.
That'd be great.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go next to the Maggie Dawn Show, where Maggie and her producer Anya share a heartfelt response to a mean and foul-mouthed caller.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I've been talking about the fact that the right wing just freaked out over the weekend and lied to Christians coast to coast in this country. Said that Joe Biden's trying to ban Easter. Lie. Completely made up. And that Joe Biden desecrated Easter by naming Easter Sunday Trans Day of Visibility. Well, that's a lie. I'm going to go to the phones. I wanted to share with you what just happened. During the break, somebody called, and Anya, my poor producer, picked up the phone and was greeted with a string of expletives.
I have not been chewed out like that since I think I was in like middle school. That was maybe the most intense yelling I've received in a hot minute from anyone.
What is this person so ticked off that I'm pointing out that the right wing lies to try to make the person that just called and said the C-U-N
see you next Tuesday, my friend. Yeah.
Repeatedly about me and you. That the guy that just called, if you're still listening, that is what they want you to do. They want you to call Anya and I up on the phone and call us the see you next Tuesday word. They are lying to you to get you to this place of rage. If you want to be angry, don't be angry at me. Be angry at Fox News. Be angry at Donald Trump. Because they're the ones that are making you feel this way. Imagine if you could release all that anger, where we didn't use religion in this country to scare and separate and oppress people, but instead let each one of us believe what we wish to, worship how we choose to, and we just focused on taking care of each other and treating each other with a little dignity. So to the gentleman that just called up my show and cursed out my producer, I'll firstly apologize to Anya. You don't have to listen to any of that crap. You hang up the phone when someone does that, if you wish. Or record it.
Yeah.
But to that man, I say, I extend you grace. I give you forgiveness. Because you are being manipulated, sir.
Well, and I'll say this, because from what I heard, too, you know, this person's really upset about trans people. This person's really upset about people's personal identities, about what medical things change who you are and who you aren't. And all I can say is, I mean, I guess to a certain point, you're right, dude. Quote, cutting it off doesn't make you a woman. That's not the argument. These are people and their lived experiences. It has a lot more to do than just their bodies. It has to do with their minds and their hearts and their life. Chill.
Well, you know, and that's, you can believe that. But you believe that and you govern your body yeah. and your life that way and yeah. leave others to be.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We don't shove our religious beliefs down other people's throats in this country. So again, to that man, I extend you forgiveness. I hope that you can find forgiveness and care and love for other people, because I think that's what Jesus Christ was trying to preach.
Something about loving neighbors. I don't
know. As yourself. Something along those lines. Lisa from Pewaukee, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Thanks for taking my call. So I really appreciate that you're addressing this. I'm so sorry your producer had to go through that. I'm not at all surprised, being from Waukesha County, because that is not an atypical attitude in this neck of the woods. A couple of things that I wanted to say, besides thank you for addressing it, is that I feel we all need to be aware that this is a drumbeat, and this was no mistake. All of these things are planned. The Bible being sold,
yes,
by Trump, the outrage that was going to come up about this day, believe me, that wasn't just coming out of the blue, that it was acknowledged on Easter, that it was
Trans Day of Visibility.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Visibility. And then, you know, all of the follow-up, it's planned. It's and yes, it's horrible, but my issue is, once again, folks are on the defensive.
Yeah.
You're calling it horrible after the fact.
Yep.
It's boom, boom, boom. We're always, always on the defense because of the lies and the hatred that these folks are planning. It's no mistake. It's planned.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lisa, for your call. I agree with you. I try not to be on the defensive all the time on my show, but I do feel like when these things occur, I want to correct the record. I want to call it out. In fact, in a weird way, though I wish I could protect Anya from having to hear that kind of crap from people, it is to engender these kinds of conversations, to call out what are lies and manipulations of people's sincerely held faith and personal beliefs. So we try not to be on the defensive all the time here on the Maggie Dawn Show. In fact, I take it directly to Donald Trump every chance I get to call out the nonsense. And I'm going to do that more in a minute. But this one bothered me a lot. These two lies. And Lisa's totally correct. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your call, Lisa. When she says this is all pre pre-concocted, thought-out garbage. They know exactly what they're doing. And it is manipulation. It is gaslighting. It is snake oil salesmanship of the highest order. PJ texting in, Ted texting in, thanks so much for your support, calling out this jerk that unloaded the see you next Tuesday word on Anya and I. Shame, sir. Cindy from Appleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Well, I don't have a problem with Trans Visibility Day being on Easter because Easter was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who, believe me, would have been okay with trans people. He would have understood them. He would have supported them. And are we not all created equal in the eyes of God?
Thanks so much, Cindy. 100%. When I was in CCD class, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. When I was in CCD class way back in the 80s, which, if you don't know Catholicism, it's what these classes you take before you receive confirmation. And my CCD teacher told me this, Cindy. He said, if Jesus Christ came back today, Jesus would be a transgendered black person. And boy, did that cut right through, right? He would come back to us as the least of our people, just as he came before, right? And your point's really well taken. Thanks so much for the call, Cindy. Thanks for listening. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Next up on Civic Media Spotlight, from Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, Pete welcomes On Stage for Cancer, where several guests talk about their story, their mission, and guest Adam performs a song on the cello.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. It is April Fool's Day, an April Fool's Day edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Our question tonight, if you want to get in on the fun... Have you fallen for an April Fool's Day joke? If so, you can elaborate in as much detail as you like. Like I said, I fall for them every year. They're small ones. When I get out of bed, the first thing I hear is there was a mouse, whatever. Just enough to get my blood pressure going first thing in the morning. Not a major thing, but I fall for every year somebody in my house says something and I fall for it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to tell us your April Fool's Day story, Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, the last time I fell hard for an April Fool's joke was in the early 2000s. It happened that the first fell on a Friday. There was a popular talk radio guy that talks sports and politics. On his show, the last one of the week, he announced that it was his last show because he was running for governor. He spent the last half hour of his show convincingly telling his audience what he wanted to do as governor. Monday afternoon, when his show started, it was a canned laugh track with April Fool's being said under the laughter. I love that. I don't know if I'm ready for governor, maybe state assembly. I wanted to hear like the crazy platforms and his pitches. That's a great text though, Jim. Thank you. The voices you hear in the studio are my next guests. And they're really fun people because they've been here before. At least two of you have. Mm-hmm. Kim Shefchik, Chris Piatt, and Adam Korber are here from On Stage for Cancer.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Hi.
You have a lot of names in this group. Because it's Audrey's Angels on stage for cancer.
Right,
I'm glad I got that right. It was purely by chance.
You did well.
Either way, it's great to have Kim and Chris back. You guys were here with
Doctors in Recital.
Doctors in Recital. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doctors on stage for Recital, if you call it. if we want to do a hybrid. No, but you guys were so great. I'm so glad you're back because that was really fun having you guys sing in the studio. And Adam is here with the cello.
Mm-hmm.
Cello, Adam.
Cello there.
Do you have you heard those jokes
like ad nauseum? So many times, all the time.
It's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are promoting here today.
Well, we are a new nonprofit, and it's kind of a love child of sorts between a lot of different ideas that came together through some unfortunate things that all happened. Probably 8-9 years ago, a close family member was diagnosed with an aggressive stage 4 breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was contemplating, you know, we really should do something to help support people with these aggressive forms of cancer that kind of people give up, people lose hope. And how do we help generate hope? And I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to do something like Doctors in Recital. But then, you know, something like COVID happened and Doctors in Recital also went on pause. And then this past year, a good friend of ours, Audrey Nowak, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of breast cancer. And Chris and I are good friends and like to sing together. And we thought, you know, it'd be fun to do a benefit for our friend Audrey. And then I went, you know, I have this brainchild that I've been babysitting and keeping away in the closet, and I decided to bring it out and let's do it. And so we started this nonprofit, On Stage for Cancer, and our first benefit is going to be Audrey's Angels. That's what Audrey calls her team of supporters. And Audrey is a musician, very talented violinist, an educator, the fine arts coordinator at Howard Suamico School District.
Wow.
Helped work with a lot of really amazing musicians like Adam through different symphonies and organizations. And so we were really fortunate to have a lot of angels who wanted to get behind her. And so it was perfect timing and really fortuitous too that the Widener had an available date. And because of their love and support of Audrey are also giving us that space to have this concert. So it's a pretty amazing turn of events that really were dark times but are turning into a shining light. So our logo is a bright light shining on stage for cancer. And we also have worked with Audrey's family for our kind of logo for our event because it's all about creating hope through a community and love and using music. And so, again, our nonprofit is going to focus on people who work in the gig economy. So you probably know a lot of people, too, through your career that, you know, when you work in the arts and entertainment, you don't often have a safety net to fall back on. And so when people get cancer or even have a major surgery and are kind of stuck, they don't always have those traditional benefits. So ongoing, 75% of the proceeds from our event this year will go to Audrey, but then 25% is going to help spearhead this organization. I know I went on kind of long tangent about that.
No, but that was everything that you needed to say, though. So I'm good. I don't really have to contribute.
I just want to say, Kim, you seem to make your all your side hustles seem to be helping your suffering friends. That's really incredible. I'm sorry you have so many friends who are suffering, but you sound like a really take the bull by the horns. Good for you. And I want to tell everybody listening, when you setting up a non-for-profit, it's just as difficult as setting up an LLC or whatever. It's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
So
a lot of work.
The fact that you guys are doing this.
Yes.
The work that goes into it. And for you not to really, you're not going to get rich off this.
No.
You're going to go sing.
You ready for a bomb drop? The person who inspired this is on our board. She's still alive. She was told 3 to 6 months. And she is our treasurer because she does bookkeeping. And my brother, who's an attorney, has helped us too. So we've got enough connections. And obviously, again, the talented musicians who are donating their time and talent to put on what's really going to be a fun event.
Oh, yeah.
So we're still gearing up. We're looking for sponsors. We're selling tickets. We're really excited to make this event not just raise money, but a really good time.
Yeah.
And we love, as you know, to make music together with our friends.
The group is On Stage for Cancer. This show is called Audrey's Angels. It's Kim Shefchik, Adam Korber, and Chris Piatt. Chris, your husband, could not make it. He told me off the air he's suffering. He had a burst appendix that he was walking around with for a couple weeks, and you guys were giving him a hard time.
We were.
We love you, Paul.
We love you.
He was here singing a couple months ago. Did it affect his voice? That's what I want to know.
The pain makes it stronger, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it give you that?
There's a lot of
credo. Yeah.
Right. He can't sing from the appendix anymore.
He can't.
But
he's gone.
Okay.
The guitar
Maybe it'll
playing
help.
Is. He hasn't been able to play his guitar
yet. Yeah, he's a great guitarist. Yeah. So, and the show is when? Tell us when the show is.
Saturday, June 1st.
Okay.
At
You're
the
still
Widener.
Looking for sponsors.
We are. We're still accepting sponsors. We've got several from our community, some great businesses that are really gearing up. And again, not just supporting that gig economy, but entrepreneurs too. So moving forward, we're hoping to help support people who are really in need when they don't have that traditional backup.
I think it might be fate that you guys are here tonight, because I was cleaning up my dresser tonight. I've got $9 that has been sitting in my top dresser drawer. I didn't know how to spend it.
This
do you
is
divest?
Amazing.
Do you put it in the stock market? It's just sitting there. It's yours.
Absolutely. We are so honored.
I just want to
so
get the
honored.
Ball rolling.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
This is exactly how the whole process has been working.
It is. It
Things
is.
Things have just been falling into place. Yes. It is fate. Things just, we know that we're doing the right thing because of how it's all coming together.
$9 at a time. Oh, I like that motto. Think about it. Think about it.
We need another water bottle sticking out.
There you go.
All right. You guys are going to play something. We got a cello
that's
here.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, yeah.
Is it just cello or is there singing too?
We're going to do cello this time.
Just cello.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because the concert's going to be like a plethora, a menagerie of stuff. There's cello choir, string ensemble, some.
Love the strings.
Piano, vocal. What else? There was a weird thing, wasn't there? Eclectic. Sorry, not eclectic. Weird.
Weird?
What was the.
Where'd you find this guy?
What was the eclectic thing?
The eclectic thing, that my favorite thing is, you know, Jimmy Fallon does the classroom instruments. So we're going to do a classroom instruments song.
Okay.
So you got to come check it out. It's going to be amazing. One of a kind. One of a kind.
That'll be good.
Outstanding. All right, let's hear some. This is a.
Yeah.
This is Adam Corbett on the cello.
That's me.
Take it away, whatever you need there.
You want something jazzy or something classical?
Well, I'm hoping you can go a solid 2 hours. So why don't you pace yourself and no.
How about 8 minutes?
Let's start slow. Never open with a showstopper.
All right, cool.
So let's start with whatever you feel, buddy.
I'm ready for you.
Okay. This is Adam Corbett on the cello.
Okay. Everybody can hear me okay.
Conrad, we good?
Got me?
Yeah, we'll have to test.
Nice.
All right, sweet.
Beautiful.
So this is Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach wrote 6 cello suites. There's the famous one.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Oh. he opened this the showstopper.
This is the prelude to the 3rd suite, and it opens up with the angels descending from heaven.
Oh, love it.
So
nice.
I thought it was appropriate for today.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. That was wow. That was great.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
There's a lot of notes on the page.
Adam Korber, ladies and gentlemen, on the on the cello, and Kim turning pages.
Yes.
Of course.
And, I was a little stressed, but I hit it.
That would be stressful.
Oh, man.
That would be stressful.
Let me tell you, I have had some bad page turns in my day. Have you ever had a bad
page turning? Is the worst thing
on the
face.
It's super stressful.
You don't want to screw it up.
All right, let's come back with that. All right, and I have questions about the cello. That was spectacular.
Absolutely.
We'll have more with On Stage for Cancer. They're going to perform again. Don't go away. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She said, son, please beware. There's this thing called love.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Closing out hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Busted Pencils, where Tim and Johnny debrief after Election Day and talk the need for school referendums.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, oh, yeah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. If you want to jump in, give us a call. Last night, Johnny Lupinacci, he's back tonight, though. You know what, Johnny, I'm so glad you're back. And
I'm
not
back.
Only
I'm
you back, but it's Wednesday night. It's
yes,
Educators
it
Amplified in the house. And they're both in the house tonight, too. Woo! Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Man, we are back together again, back in the saddle. Aerosmith, anybody remembers that tune? You know, yeah, back in the saddle again. All right, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, welcome back. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling happy and relieved today. I think I shared with you guys our news about Say Yes to MPS passing.
Yes.
So I am happy and relieved, and yet I have complicated feelings about it. I mean, oh my gosh, I was telling Hallie, like, the lead up to an election like that, I'm just like in such anxiety, and I really don't have great coping. You know, I'll be like, stay away from the information. No, go into the information. But overall, I'm happy, relieved. And I'll say what I've been saying to my coworkers to keep a, you know, as we're marching towards this, is that I believe in the ground game. I believe in the ground game. They had the money, we have the people, and I believed in our ground game.
Nice. Teacher Hallie, how about you?
Wow. She's so good at being inspiring. You know, I'm ebb and flowing because, right, I'm post election day as well. And because I choose to live in a very red area of Wisconsin, nobody I voted for won. So I ebb and flow as far as some moments. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to public education? What's going to happen to our schools? You know, and then the next minute I'm like, oh my gosh, but I love the teachers. My children seem happy. You know, I see children laughing and being okay, you know, so I'm up and down. But I do truly see this creeping, very slow flow of people starting to understand what's going on. It's just, I would love to put a little chutzpah into
little juice, put a little juice in there. So let's just, you know, recap for anybody, listeners joining us too. Hey, in fact, listeners, if you're listening, if you want to talk, give us a call. 855-752-4842 is the number. It is Educators Amplified Wednesday. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Yes, yesterday, all across Wisconsin, but in Milwaukee, big win. We were doing this. We had been advocating Say Yes to MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools referendum. It's official at this point, Teacher Joanna, that the referendum has. Okay, because I saw early in the morning they were going, well, there's still some absentee ballots out there that they're waiting for. But at this point, MPS can declare a victory. You're talking about mixed feelings. We'll talk a little bit about that also, to kind of kind of go like, yeah. The other thing, though, too, for anybody else all through Wisconsin, there were, 89 referendums across the entire state yesterday. Hallie, is that true or am I off on that number?
It could be. I thought it was 91. So.
Okay, I thought it was 91, too, and then I remember somebody correcting me to 89. So, you know what? Somewhere
there was a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Around 90.
Okay, around 90 would be, you know, and so if you're another person out there, referendum passed, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Referendum didn't pass. We'd like to hear from you also. Johnny Lupinacci, though, so what do you think here? Say yes to MPS.
Well, I mean, I'm stoked. We've been, you know, talking about the importance of referendums and why they have, why they have to be in place to begin with and how important they are to getting funds into our public schools and supporting teachers and, you know, helping to bring that change that we're talking about here. It starts with proper funding. I'm trying to look up exactly. I mean, these were close, right? So I'm feeling the inspiration of Joanna. I love it. Teacher Joanna, believe in the ground game. I believe in the ground game, but I also feel the creep Teacher Hallie's talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's so present. This is a no brainer. This is a slam dunk. If you care about kids, you care about schools, say yes to MPS. Just enough people said yes to MPS, which is good, but just enough, right? Mm. It was close.
Yeah, it was.
A whole lot of conversation for all of us. And, you know, most of our callers are on the same page we're on, but for everyone listening out there to be having about, oof, guys, this is a close one. Yeah. And for lots of parts of the state of Wisconsin, I'm looking at here, you know, it was close or it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't go well and a referendum doesn't pass, children in schools and communities in general suffer, right? And so we're really voting on that when we do this. And so, I mean, I'm mixed. I'm mixed today about things. And so, hey, we got a text, though, from Mark. You see that?
You see that, Mark, man? He got my Aerosmith. Loving it, though. Made him think about the quote, doing all right, getting good grades, future so bright, gotta wear shades. Yeah. A little bit of classic. Right? Teacher Hallie's like, you guys are weird, man. I can see it. I can see it all over her face. People are going, what do you mean you see it? It's radio. How can you see? Hey, if you're on the YouTube, on the Twitter, or on the Facebook, you can see us. And yeah, referendums all across Wisconsin. Some passed, some didn't.
Across the state, this was close everywhere. There's only a couple of referendums on the ballot here that it's, you know, one-sided. Mm-hmm. And in those places, it was really one-sided no.
I know. In
two of those elections, the rest were all very close, like within, you know, 5 or 6 percentage points of passing or failing.
Mm-hmm. You can say, you know, why are the property owners, the taxpayers of all of these areas, the ones who have to now kick in the extra money to do this? Well, you know, how did we get to this position? And we've been talking about this time and time again because of an active defunding of public schools, as you said, Joanna, over since Act 10. But let's be honest, it has been happening and happening way before that, so that the legislature can say, well, if you want any extra money, you're going to have to go back to the voters to ask their permission. Well, wait a minute. Why aren't we getting the money we're supposed to be getting anyway? Yeah, we create a scarcity when, hey, guess what? There are billions, billions right now in reserve. What's going on? Busted Pencils, give us a call when we get back.
Busted Pencils is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.